Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel that I just read and that you just sang. So I'll forego the reading then of the text. This morning, you probably noticed a change in the measurement of time and how it coincides with light and darkness, though the fact that it's a really cloudy day may have obscured that just a little. We will feel that change again this evening as we sense that our days have become shorter and evenings longer because the darkness falls an hour earlier than it did yesterday because we've tinkered with the way we keep time. The semi-annual changing of our clocks allows us to sense those changes more dramatically as we either spring forward or fall back, and it will take us a week or so for our bodies to adjust to that change. You know, even though I gained an hour, it seemed like I was rushed. Does that make sense? This morning? So I gained an hour, went to bed early anyway, woke up early. Well, anyway, that's what we do with time. It will be particularly noticeable amongst the children in our early childhood center as their lives are a bit more regulated by time. All of our lives are regulated by time, but they're on a schedule, and so they'll be off a little bit. So sugar this past week, time this week. You got to love those teachers and how they're able to take care of those children that have been entrusted to our care. Of course, our time of daylight has been diminishing steadily as we move toward winter and the shortest day of daylight, December 22nd and the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. So we'll be seeing that sunrise is a little later, sunsets a little earlier until we get to Christmas. Yet as we understand that, we are heading quickly through autumn on our way to winter, and the dormancy of nature and hibernation of some of God's creatures, we can approach this day in our church year as Easter in autumn. The chancel pyramids are white, as they are during the season of Easter, which indicates something special about this day as we gather in the presence of our Lord as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we use "This is the Feast" as the hymn of praise in our liturgy on this feast day. This morning we celebrate then All Saints Day. All Saints actually falls on November 1st. Therefore, All Hallows Eve, or Halloween as our culture knows it, is the 31st of October. But it would do us well to refer to that day as Reformation Day if given an opportunity. And so we can send our children trick-or-treating on Reformation Day. So this morning at All Saints is observed. So as we gather together today, we remember those who have gone before us in the faith in this past year, even as we recall those who through the years have been so instrumental in leading us to faith and sharing their faith with us. Some of those who have left us also leave a great void in our lives and in the life of this congregation, and we recognize their absence. Time passes and the pain of that loss eases, yet it truly never disappears. However, mixed with the sadness of this loss comes the joy in knowing that a loved one who died in the faith now joins the multitude that no one can number. So too on this day, as with every day, and especially every Sunday, we celebrate that the Lord has made us his saints through holy baptism, bringing us out of the darkness of sin and death into his marvelous Easter resurrection light. We do so humbly, realizing that we are at the same time saint and sinner, as Jonna pointed out this morning in the children's message, and that as Christians, we sense that tension in our lives, as with St. Paul, we say, "The good I would do, I don't do, and the evil that I would not do, I do." And so we live this side of heaven with that tension in our lives. We further realize that we will be part of the who are these referred to in our first reading from the book of Revelation because of God's gracious promise to us? One of the hymns that can be sung on this day is entitled, "Behold a Host Arrayed in White." These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, we heard as John received that revelation and prepared that for us. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What a beautiful picture of heaven that gives to us, whose white robes are many times stained by our sinful disobedience this side of heaven. But the Lord is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord's demand upon us to be holy as He is holy is accomplished for us through His Son, whose holiness, whose righteousness has been freely given to us. He exchanged His holiness and His righteousness for everything that was unholy in our lives, our sinfulness, and took those things to the cross for us and for our salvation. In Him, we are blessed. We are blessed with forgiveness of sins. We are blessed with the promise of everlasting life. So we are His redeemed, His saints. We are invited to stand in His presence and recognize that as we do so in this place this morning, we join our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven and give thanks and praise to God and the Lamb who sits on His throne. While some are left to wonder who the saints truly are, or to look to those who have been declared saints for something miraculous they may or may not have done, which has been verified and documented, we understand as Lutherans that all people who have been born from above, all of us who have been born again by water and the Spirit in the waters of holy baptism, and have been given to confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior are indeed His saints. While we may not address one another as such, and maybe we sometimes refer to each other in a completely different way, we should find comfort in knowing that the Lord has declared us to be so. And while we may wonder about others, and while others may wonder about us, it has nothing to do with what we think about someone else, but what God in Christ Jesus has done for all of us. Thanks be to God, whose glorious gospel empowers us to be so. Thanks be to God, who has richly blessed us to be His people unto everlasting life. What a tremendous gift. As you have heard me say over and over again, the gospel shows us our Savior. That's His purpose. The gospel is good news for us who are constantly being bombarded by bad news. Jesus' ministry worked for us, and our salvation is indeed what the gospel is. That good news points to Him as the one who has done everything for us through His suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus is not our example, though it would do us well to see how Jesus acted and how He reacted throughout His life on earth. Jesus, though a great teacher, does not teach us what we must do and not do in order to be saved, though you hear Him speaking both law and gospel. He does not show us and tell us what we must do in order to be part of that great heavenly multitude that no one can number from every nation, tribe, people, and language. In fact, during His earthly ministry, He reminded His disciples that it was impossible for us to do the things necessary to inherit eternal life, being part of His kingdom, which we hear Him tell us today we are. Yet He also told them, as we heard in the gospel account from St. Mark a couple of weeks ago, that it is not impossible for God, for all things are possible with God. And so He declares us righteous in Jesus' name. And this is good news. This is the good news that is for us to live by in Him. as we have been grafted into him in our baptisms. We are truly the blessed because we have been given faith in him. We can confess him to be Lord and Savior. Even that was impossible for us, but not with him. He came to us to be for us and has by grace made us, declared us to be a part of his kingdom. In Jesus' words recorded in our text taken from his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are given to understand what it means to be truly blessed. Jesus' disciples, who recognize themselves as those who have nothing to contribute and no way to make their lives right, and who are overwhelmed by the world, by this world of sin that surrounds us, and in which we many times find ourselves, are given to know that we are not cursed, but we are indeed blessed. How many times have you asked someone how they are, and they have responded by saying, I'm blessed? And maybe you use that yourself. Does that mean they like their job, their house, their car, and everything that reflects their prosperity? Or do they mean they have been given to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and the giver of the kingdom? It could mean both, I suppose. Maybe it does. Confronted by the law, we recognize that we are powerless and unable to make ourselves righteous or provide for ourselves a righteousness that is truly alien to who we are because of our sinful condition. So we recognize that we are poor in spirit and those who mourn our sinful condition, and we have his promise of the kingdom nevertheless, and his comforting forgiveness and mercy in spite of all that. This pronouncement of blessedness is a tremendous gift of God's grace, the removal of the dread that we have because we are given to recognize that we are poor, miserable sinners. Instead, we are made members of his kingdom, which has no end, as we receive his inheritance. What a blessing that is for us. The world considers people blessed who are intelligent and successful, those who have means and are confident in themselves and their ability to take care of themselves and to prosper, consider themselves blessed and are considered by others to have been blessed. However, being blessed is being given faith that first of all receives all that the Lord would give us unto eternal life. First and foremost, faith then understands that the things that we have for our support in this life are blessings from his hands for our use and then for the help of our neighbor as a witness to them of whose we are, who we belong to. But you see, all of those things are temporary. We can't take them with us. But the former are from everlasting to everlasting. Thanks be to God. In his Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus makes some truly amazing promises to those he refers to as blessed. He promises the kingdom of heaven to the poor in spirit. He promises comfort for those who mourn their sins, the new heaven and earth to those who are meek and seek to serve others, and satisfaction to those who hunger and thirst for righteousness that is not their own doing. As the blessed of God, we receive mercy. And we are given peace, peace with the Father whom we shall be given to see face to face, even as we have received the adoption as sons. The reward we are promised comes even in the midst of suffering and persecution and is kept in heaven for you and for me, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's ready to be revealed for us in the last time. So rejoice, you his saints. Rejoice and be glad. You are blessed because by faith in his promises, yours is indeed the kingdom of God. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.